We're blessed to be able to get out, come out, sit in the seats here and enjoy our fellowship together. God's good all the time. Sometimes we can't keep from being concerned or worried or whatever you want to say about our conditions or what's going to happen and all that kind of thing. But praise the Lord, here we are. And we just need to keep Him foremost in our life, and that makes a difference. Makes a difference. Read up, prayed up, and all things that God has provided for us, a wonderful church to come to, wonderful families, a wonderful country, even though we see it has problems, but it has more good than it does bad, and we know that. But praise the Lord for good things, and His salvation, and a good church, and a good pastor, and staff, and all that goes on. And we can sometimes get focused on things that are not good in this old crazy world. But I want to be focused on good things and what God's done for me and what He's going to do for me in His Word. Praise His name. So we'll get started with a word of prayer, thinking about we have Vacation Bible School coming up. And I know a lot of you in here have been involved in that with many, many times and many years. And what good thoughts and good memories and all those activities and campaigns, and we can still be part of that with prayer, even though you may not be doing anything. I know there's bus drivers in here, and we've just done everything in this church, and praise the Lord for that. And I just think on all these good things that God's given us in the past, and looking forward to good things in the future in this church. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank You for Your love and thank You for Your grace. God, thank You for this church that we have today, that so many, many, many thousands, some 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years ago, You started the New Testament church, and here we have it today. And Lord, we thank You for it, the order of it, and the salvation through Your shed blood. Lord, we just thank You for all that. So many good things and so many good blessings that we can think about how You've provided for us today. Lord, we're so blessed. We're blessed in salvation foremost, and we're blessed with our country that we live in. Lord, we pray for all the things that are going on in the world. There's so many bad things. We could go on and hone in on those things. But Lord, we just want to thank You for Your salvation and how it needs to be preached and taught throughout the world. Thank You for all our missionaries that are around the world preaching the Word. Lord, we just praise Your name again. Lord, give us a good morning. Give us a good day in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we kind of finished up on the Holy Spirit last week, and I wanted to go and talk about the New Testament church and how it got started during the early years there after Christ died on the cross. And ecclesiology is the study of the church. It's just a big word. Another big word in education. And it talks about how Paul, one of the things that we'll talk about is how the impact that Paul had on the New Testament church. And I'm going back to Ephesians today. We were in Ephesians last week, but I want to look at it a little further along here because of the letter that he had written to the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was located on the Aegean Sea across from Greece in today's, the western part of Turkey. You can put it there today in your mind and where it's located there in the Mediterranean area. I can remember in the Navy, we sailed quite often into the Aegean Sea up in that way, goes toward the Black Sea and all that's going on in that part of the world today. And the water was so beautiful. It was a bluish, it's hard to even, aqua blue, crystal clear, beautiful color when you sailed into that. I guess you could look at that blue on them windows and the blue that's around the little flowers at the top. It's kind of that color, a little more greenish tint. But just when I first went in there, we went in the dark, and I got up that morning and went out and saw that water and saw that part of the world. I was just amazed. It was such a beautiful sight to see that water in that part of the world. And I didn't know halfway what I know now, not even a quarter of what I know now about the Bible and study. And then at the end, I just heard it in Sunday school, and that's about all I knew. But knew that Greece was there, knew that Turkey was there, and Paul had made missionary journeys in that part of the world. And to see that land, I'd like to go see it again. And really, if it was safe, get off and go into these places. But don't know that I'll ever make it back there again. But anyway, a beautiful place. And thinking about Paul traveling now, in Ephesians, when he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, he was in prison. He had already went through there one time. If you remember the Bible story, Paul went there and was preaching. And that was one of the most important trade cities of the region at that time. A lot of the commerce that went into Eastern Europe would come to the point of Turkey, and they'd load it on ships, and it would go across over to Greece, and then it would go up into the part, up into Europe and all parts of that part of the world. So it was a big shipping port, a big commerce port. And one of the biggest things that was there for the world at that time was the Temple of Diana. Of course, was just nothing but wickedness. And the history books tells that from that port, they had chiseled out footsteps in the stone streets from the port area all the way to the Temple of Diana. And that was part of the commerce there, that people came into that area. The merchants was making money off of that temple and carving little idols. Well, if you remember, Paul, after getting this church established, the whole town was just completely tore up with this new so-called religion, this Jesus. And it just completely disrupted. Now, the Roman Empire had control there at the time. And they brought Paul up, and they wanted to kill him right then, because a lot of the merchants, because of the impact of the gospel, so many people were getting saved and new churches starting, that the merchants had lost money because they couldn't sell their little statues. And they couldn't make money in the temple. And all that stuff started falling apart because the gospel come to town. And people were getting saved. And people were talking about Christ and what he had done. And this was about 61, 62 AD. And So all that happened the first time Paul was around in there and got that church started there in Ephesus. So we look at Ephesians. This is a letter. He's in prison writing back to these people to stand fast in the Lord. And we see that how this church was just in its infancy and it was just getting established, and he was writing this letter, and the letter says so much. If you want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, really right there, we can look at the beginning, at the introduction of his letter to these folks. Of course, he greets them, and there in verse 1 and 2, and then he says in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and in heavenly places in Christ." We can still say that today. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, before him in love. And we can go down there and look at verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches and his grace." So it was a gift. He was making sure it was a gift. He was going over that again in this letter to these folks. Then if you want to look at verse 13, I mean, Paul was just really pouring it on these folks. They were getting so much. And that's why this letter's right here today, because Paul in prison, inspired by God-breathed inspiration, wrote this down, and now we have it here in our Bible today. And verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now, what was that? The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel that these people heard. That's what saved, and that's what tore this town all to pieces, is the gospel. It can still do the same thing today. We can fight sin plumb to the gates of hell with this book right here, if we hold it up. I'm having time with my allergies today. I took some stuff and it's dried me up. So, okay, where was that? "Salvation, whom also after that ye believed," after you heard the word, "ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So there we cross back to the Holy Spirit that we talked about a week or so ago. But this sealing, that word sealed right there, those people understood what seal meant. A lot of the pottery at the time in that part of the world, and I know my mom used to collect some kind of glass from a place up in West Virginia called Fenton Glass, and it had a stamp on the bottom, a seal. Of course, we know that the Roman rulers, they had a ring that they would seal documents with, and they would drop the hot wax on there and press the seal into it, and that sealed it, that closed it, until it got to the person that was allowed to open it. A lot of the pottery then was being sealed in that town by these merchants. As they built this pottery and built these images, they would put their seal on it. It was their product. And as it was shipped around the world or parts of the world or put on ships and taken elsewhere, that the people saw that seal. Well, that's the guy. I really like his stuff. You see what I'm saying? I recognize that seal. So Paul used that word in salvation, saying we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, who has the right to open that? Nobody here on this world. That seal's going to be cracked open in heaven. Someday when we get there, we are going to be sealed. We're sealed now. And when Christ comes back in the air, or when we meet him, that seal, he is the only one that has the right to open that seal or look at that seal and says, that is mine. We know that we're sealed. We know that we're God's. So we're sealed. So you can think about that word sealed from now on as we buy things today that may have a seal on it. And you know, the ladies look at, well, I bought this purse or that purse or I've got this watch. Or I mean, people look at labels. We're sealed, folks. Praise the Lord. With the Holy Spirit. And we're Christ. And everybody recognizes that seal. Now, if we're living a Christ-like life, people see a difference in us. And if anybody gets to know you, they know you are a Christian. They know you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You are sealed. And people recognize that mark. So that's why these people, and just in that one example there, how Paul used the inspiration of God and knowing the culture of that time and what was going on in that town, he wrote that letter and put sealed in there. And they recognized that that was important, that they were sealed because of the gospel in previous in that verse. And it was it not only sealed, but if you look, I've got notes here from a sermon. I don't have the date on it, but I think it was Pastor Lashley, and I'm pretty sure it probably was. And his preaching was, I'm sealed, I'm saved, sealed, and I'm settled. And where it says settled, you go down to chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us set through a heavenly places in Jesus Christ. It was settled. And we go down to that verse that we all have known. We read a couple of weeks before, by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So all this stuff was going to this church in Ephesians there, Ephesus. And I found where we've been chosen. You know, we're a chosen lot. We've heard the gospel, and we are chosen by God. You know, and I found a list of things that says chosen out of what, or chosen for what. And these people were thinking, you know, they were. Most of the church there at the time was Gentiles. There was some Jews up in that area for the commerce. But these people were thinking, what have I been chosen for? What am I sealed for? They didn't understand anything. And Paul was trying to teach them through this letter what was going on. Chosen in him. Many are called, but few are chosen. You're chosen out of this world. You're chosen to salvation. Chosen as God's precious ones. These are all out of verses in the New Testament. Chosen to live holy without blame. Chosen as prepared vessels. Again, using that right there. Talking about the sealed vessels, all that working together for folks to understand at that time. Chosen to know his will. A chosen generation to show forth praise. Chosen to be rich in faith. Chosen to the work of God. And that's in Ephesians 2:10. Chosen to confound the noble. Chosen to witness. Chosen to bear fruit. Chosen to be a living epistle. Chosen to be a soldier. chosen to be like Christ, chosen to be heirs of the kingdom. We're chosen to do a lot of things. And we could fall in all or part or any or piece of that that you want to apply yourself to. Where are you chosen to? And what are you chosen to do? So he was writing all this to this church at Ephesus. Now let's go back and look at Peter a little bit and look at a verse that got put into Matthew. And it's talking about the foundation of the church. And it says, and you've heard this before, Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now let's break that down just a little. Let's go back to Peter. Thou art Peter. When I was young, it always confused me. I kept thinking, well, he's the rock. Well, that word Peter in the Greek means rock. Peter was a rock. It was denoting that his firmness, his solidarity, he was distinguished as a supporter of Christ. So are we that? Are we a rock for the gospel today? I think we need to be more than ever, because we see the world seems to be trying to fly apart in other directions. We see our country as it's being, we see the devil getting grips in all areas of it, in the education system of our children, and pushing all these agendas, and on and on. It just seems like it's just going a direction that's not good. I mean, our country it needs it more than ever. We need to be a rock. And then it says, up on this rock. And he was saying, up on myself as the Messiah is what he was saying. That's Christ. This is what Christ was saying here. He's saying, upon myself, the rock. This is it. We know verses saying that he was the cornerstone, the rock, and all that. I will build the church. So we know that, looking at Paul's verses here, saying what they said, that the definition of a church is in Matthew 16:18 is Christ's called out assembly. We're a called out assembly today. You are part of this church. Now, yes, we're here at Buffalo Ridge, and yes, we are called Baptist. We're Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. But you've been sealed. You are Christ. You're his purchased, privileged ones to recognize his effort on the cross and be saved from that. You are the church that he has chosen. You are sealed to that day. You're his church, the church. When the church is raptured, it's not talking about church buildings or church groups or this group or that group. It's talking about the people. And he was explaining that to these people here in Ephesus. This was all new to them. Of course, when Paul came through there on his first journey and the big uproar went on, and they basically drug him out of the streets and had a court and got him out of town, and everybody was upset. Well, here he is in prison a few years later, writing a letter back to these folks to help them get squared away on continuing their church. So if we look at the origins of the church, the Old Testament saints, it was a secret at that time in the Old Testament. It was a mystery. We know a mystery when it says it in the Bible. It's a sacred secret that will be revealed in God's timing. So the mystery of the salvation of people was being revealed. These people, it was being revealed to them that they could understand that now what they had heard about the Old Testament happened with Christ some 60 years earlier when he died on the cross and when rose again. Now this was the mystery that the Old Testament saints were talking about. And it's here today for you to believe in. And hundreds of them were getting saved. The church is not Israel. Some people want to say that. God makes the difference between Israel and the church in the Bible, and many times, and in 1 Corinthians 10:32, it talks about it particularly. But a lot of people will say, well, the church is Israel. Well, that's God's chosen people, but it's not the church that we're talking about. God's chosen people, God will deal with that. He's dealing with the nation of Israel differently in every dispensation. As we are here today in the age of grace, Jewish folks can get saved as well as we can. But, of course, in the next age, after the rapture, through the 7-year tribulation, he deals with them in a different way. Then after he comes back to earth in 1,000-year reign, he deals with them in a different way then. That's the nation of Israel. But the church as we know it, how we're going to be dealt with, is if you're saved today, and whoever gets saved before the Christ comes back, whoever's been saved in the past, our families that are in heaven already, that's the church, and Christ is going to deal with them in heaven. One of the things we'll do during the seven-year tribulation period will be the judgment seat of Christ, and we all stand before Christ, and he'll judge us for the works that we did as Christians. He'll look at what we did, and how we taught, how many souls we witnessed to, and how did you preach, and did you do this or that? And that's when you get all the crowns, talking about you got this crown for that and this. Not dealing with the nation of Israel then. So it's clearly that the church is not Israel. And the church is not the kingdom. Some people argue that the benefit of the blessing of the kingdom, the promises of the kingdom coming, again, that kingdom is dealing with Christ and his coming. And yes, we are raptured and we go to heaven and then we come back with him and set up that kingdom, but it's still dealing with the Jewish nation through that 7-year tribulation period into the millennial reign. That's a lot to talk about there. We could talk about that a lot, and I keep going back to that, and I'm thinking I may go back and start with all of that discourse and how Christ explains some of those things. But you start there, you're back in Daniel, then you're back in Revelations. And you can get plumb deep into all that stuff. But anyway, we're talking about the church today, as we know it today, and how it was established then. The church revealed in the New Testament is what we're talking about here. The foundations of the church and how it was revealed. The first revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was hidden by God and it was made known by Christ. The Christ, upon this rock, he said, the foundation of the church. And he says in that verse, he says, I will build, the builder of the church. So if you look back at that, just that one verse, I've got it written here. You know, he says, the foundation of the church is built upon the rock, and that's me, he said. I am that rock. I will build my church. Well, that has nothing to do with building a structure. He is building it through salvation. Every time a soul gets saved, that's a new member of the church that he's died on a cross for, that he shed his blood for. That's the church that we're talking about. So this group of believers there that were in Ephesus was really having to stand up for what they believed, because in the middle of that mess in that town, in that temple of Diana, and all the opposition that they were getting. Now, we think we've got opposition today from the devil. We do. We can see it in the news. We can see it around the world. The devil is trying to spin this world out of control. Well, those people had it right in their back door. Praise the Lord, we don't have a temple of Diana sitting down here on the other end of Gray. This temple was a big deal at that time in that part of the world. And they were dealing with the devil face to face, and those people face to face, and those merchants every day. Well, you're part of that church? Are you one of them? Would we be brave enough to say when we're out in the community or at the grocery store, well, do you go down there to Buffalo Ridge? Are you down there at that bunch? Oh, they go down there at Buffalo Ridge. Oh, you've been down there? I mean, over time, have we heard that stuff? Folks, it wasn't nothing compared to what those folks were going through. And Paul was writing this letter to strengthen those folks, to help them understand what they were supposed to be, who they were, and how they were supposed to act as the New Testament church. So we look here, there was other, in Ephesians chapter 3, particularly here when Paul was writing this letter, we can look over at 3, and we talked about that last week. And it says, for this cause. Now, again, I'm kind of going back over some things, but here we are. These people were reading this letter from Paul in their church service. Think about that. In their church service, here's a letter from Paul. And he says he loves us and he's concerned about us. Well, here we have a letter right here today from God that says he loves us and he's concerned about us. Same thing. For this cause, the mystery that was hidden to these people is the cause. It was a mystery to these folks up until this point. And now you know the truth. You have the truth. I, Paul, the prisoner for Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward. So here he says, I'm passing this on to you guys. You've heard about it in the past. Now by this revelation, he has made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote forward in a few words. I looked that up right there, and I think some of the commentaries are saying that there was another letter that has been lost that he had written to these folks, because it was mentioned there that he had already mentioned this stuff, and he was telling them again. Whether he knew the letter had gotten lost, didn't know the letter got to all of them, or they all didn't hear it, whatever it was. You know, you start looking at every word in these verses and you wonder what does that mean? So let's see, let me go on down through here. Let's start down in verse number 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto us holy apostles, prophets, by the Spirit. Here we have the Spirit involved again, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Boy, does that say a lot. So again, emphasizing to these folks that they understand that they're partakers, they're part of this, that they were partakers of this promise by the gospel through Christ, what he did on the cross some 60 years earlier. Wherefore I was made a master according to the gift of grace God giveth unto me by the effectual working of the power. And to me I am less than least of all saints. See, Paul is even saying, I'm writing this. I'm not even worthy to be writing this. Can you imagine him writing this stuff down and the Holy Spirit influencing his hand and his mind to write this stuff down? And here he may just all of a sudden look at the verses as he's written prior to, I'm not even worthy to be here and writing this stuff down. I'm the chief of sinners. Even we've heard him say that before. Unto me who is less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given. Grace is given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. My. These folks were they had gotten a letter that was through the life and the writings of Paul. We learned that the power of the church, the purpose of the church, the teachings of the church, through the Holy Spirit's influence on Paul. We talked about the Holy Spirit in the last couple of weeks. All of that was coming into power on top of Paul for him to give these people understanding that they need to stand strong in the belief of the gospel. I think today, thinking about the history that we have here, we sometimes forget. And you know, I was in the Ukraine one time, and we met people that were put in prison for what they believed by the Soviet Union. We met a family that their father and their grandfather both had been put in prison for preaching the word. And you think about Paul being put in prison and then the hole that he was down in, and in the innermost of the prison. Folks, we are a blessed group. All this effort, all this work that the Holy Spirit did to get this church at Ephesus started. Now, I start thinking, well, how did that impact me? How did those Gentiles? Well, it was, you look where they were at. They were in a working community of ships and cargo and stuff being moved all over the world at that time. And somebody gets saved and they get on a ship and they go to Greece and they preach the word there and on, and Spain and England, and here we are. I mean, it's so easy to connect all those dots from that effort that was put together here that day for these people. It was so important. In Acts chapter 2, it says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and that same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast, apostles' doctrines, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That fear means the fear of God, the awe of it all. Have we lost that? The awe of it all. I'm saved. Folks, we need to get a hold of that again. And we need to pass it on to our families, our grandchildren, our friends, or whoever we can. The awesome, all-powerful God of this world, creator of everything, knows me personally and saved me with the blood of Jesus Christ. I will never get over that. And none of us never get over that. And we need to preach it, teach it. And these disciples, you know, they continued steadfast in fellowship. And they must have been good Baptists, because it says breaking of bread, they were having dinner. Good Baptists like to eat, don't we? Praise the Lord for the church that we have today that was started during that time and all that they had to go through. So in the scriptures indicate that the church began with Christ and his disciples and was empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We know what happened there. We saw the disciples go out that day, and they were able to speak and preach the gospel, and everybody understood them in their own language. Even that day, thousands got saved and went, and that spread all over the known world at that time. The Holy Spirit was so involved in all this, the empowering, and all that was done. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and in breaking bread from their house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. Think about that. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. You know, folks, if you live it, you really live it, and you go with that on your lips, and you go with that attitude of being a Christian and want to do the best you can do, and I know it's hard, we're just flesh. We run up against people that just rubs us raw. They're just like sandpaper. But folks, if we go in that attitude right there, and it says having favor with all people, when they really get to know you, you have favor because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And you're going to say right and do right and try to treat them right. You know, do unto others that as you'd want them to do to you. I mean, all these basic truths that we know, have we just let them all go out the door? Let this old world influence everything for bad? Folks, we need to be influencers, because the foundations of what we have today and how it was all established and set up, We need to continue in that, praising God. The Great Commission is not to simply be a group of people or a group of followers. Every church bears the responsibility for fulfilling this task. We have ordinances of the church. We're to be baptized and celebrate His supper. But God wants us to be witnesses to all nations, to all nationalities. And how do we do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament church was established then in difficult, difficult situation. Those churches in Russia or the Ukraine were established with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can say that's modern times. That's in the last 50 years or so. With the power of the Holy Spirit. And those people lived difficult times. Difficult times. Folks, we've really got it made. If you really look at it, we're all sitting here at ease. Don't have nobody with guns standing out there trying to take our church away from us. God's blessed us. God's blessed us. And it all come from these early efforts of the apostles and Paul and all that was done during that time. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for all you did, all you're doing, all you're going to do. Lord, help us to hold on to you. You, Lord, you're holding on to us. You've got us sealed. Help us to use the Holy Spirit to further the cause of Christ. Lord, take care of our church today. Pray for the pastor. You give him the words to say that someone needs to hear today that'll change their heart, save their soul. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.